Think about this past Thursday and Friday, how many of us were glued to our weather forecasters, our computers, or even smartphones and tablets to see the pertinent signs to watch for. Now, the question was, would this storm hit us, and just how bad it might be if it did? Today, a lot of people have apps on their phones to track any storm that might be coming up the coast or up the Gulf or whatever. We become dependent on these things to alert us of the coming changes. In first century Israel, they didn't have such things. No, they didn't have luxuries like this. They didn't have phones or computers, as we know. Communication was you going to tell so-and-so, and they would tell so-and-so. I know it sounds like that commercial, and they'll tell two friends, and so on, and so on, and so on. They had no amenities to speak of, and depending on the things around them, the skies, the winds, and even how the animals reacted. Storms can make animals act differently than normal, and so these people were searching for signs all of the time. Have you ever noticed in your dog or cat that when you've got a bad storm, especially when it's upon you, how they act differently? Yeah, little Jake was... He was a handful on Thursday and again on Friday with that storm, but he's back to being a little 18-week-old puppy. He's a piece of work, but what a blessing. But it was amazing how he knew when the wind was going to let start up again. It was just really something. And can you imagine having cattle and sheep and how they reacted? You know, truly incredible. Well, Jesus, having just left the temple for what would be his last time, went with his apostles to the Mount of Olives, across the Kidron Valley, and directly across from the temple. The site of the magnificent temple was right there in front of them. I only wish that it was there today to be able to reflect upon it, but instead that Dome of the Rock is there, and I'm sorry, I just can't get excited about the Dome of the Rock. We can talk about that privately if you'd like, but I just wish that the temple was there. But Jesus prophesied that from that time forward, about 40 years later, in what would be 70 AD, the temple would cease to exist at all, and all the Jews would be running for their lives from Jerusalem. Jesus comforts his followers, telling them not to panic, that the end of days was not then, but it would come later. And so Jesus adds the prophecy of his second coming later on in what we call the Olivet Discourse. Olivet because it was on the Mount of Olives. What Jesus said about the stones being strewn down, you just have to take a walk by the southern steps of the temple. I promise you, if that Marilyn and I ever lead another trip to Israel, we will take people to the southern steps of the temple, which Jesus walked up. And you would see, through fresh excavation that has taken place, boulders and blocks that were part of the temple and the western wall. You'd find them strewn down on a street on which Jesus once walked. We know that this street was there in the first century, and all the debris on top of it was also from the temple and the first century. From the time of his discourse, the temple and the city of Jerusalem would never, ever be the same. The city and the temple would be demolished just as Jesus had predicted. And the Jews would now need to reconstruct their lives, focusing on the law instead of the temple and sacrifices. They would ask for signs to know when this was coming. And believe me, they got more than they asked for. You need to know that right after this gospel reading, in verses 21, Luke 21, 20 to 21, Jesus clearly prophesied on what was to come to the temple and the Jewish people. He said, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city." Jesus is talking about the people of Judah, the Jews, who would be scattered into the whole world until November 29th of 1947, when the United Nations declared Israel a country once again. The Jews would have been scattered all over the world. And then there are the ones that fled to Masada, the mountain fortress near the Dead Sea, who would be exterminated by the Roman army. It's incredible. When you go to Masada, you look at the one side of it, which is a very steep mountainside, and you can only get up there by taking a cable car. And then on the other side, you see the remnants of a ramp that the Romans built to be able to go in, attack, and kill them all. Jesus' warnings are really meant to encourage the hearers, and the readers most especially, his followers, to stay close to their faith and continue to share the truth, not being swayed by false prophets and false messiahs. These warnings are so very important that they're recorded in not just Luke chapter 21, but also Matthew 24 and Mark 13. In each, they're almost identical, so you know that they really are telling people to watch out, to take care, and be ready. One important warning is given by Jesus in verse 8 from today's gospel reading Deacon Bob just read. And he said, "See that you're not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'the time is at hand.' Do not go after them," Jesus said. We also need to remember the words spoken by Jesus in John 15:16. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give it to you." And Jesus is speaking to the people whom he has called, for them to continue in the faith and not to trust the imposters who proclaim to be a Christ or a Messiah, which means an anointed one. For he's given the call for us to trust in him and not anyone else who falsely claims to be him. We should also remember that before long, the risen Jesus would add encouragement for his disciples when he gives what we call the Great Commission on a mountain in the Galilee. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And he said, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." The promise to never leave or forsake his followers has to be kept close to the heart, no matter what. Always remember, he promises to be with us. The Jesus' disciples put two and two together. The warning of the destruction of the temple on one hand, and the evidence of all that Jesus has said and done came to pass on the other hand. Somehow, they go hand in hand with each other. If Jesus had been right all along, then the temple will have to go, they had to think. But how? And when? When would the world see that Jesus really is God's Messiah? When would the world see that we need Jesus? It takes several hundred years. But eventually, even Rome would fall. Mighty Rome, who conquered all, would come crashing down itself. And their so-called gods or emperors would be seen as false gods. The truth could clearly be seen. In Greek, the word for truth is aletheia. John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus says about the truth, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." There really is no disguising the truth. The disciples wanted to see Jesus ruler as king, with all that that would mean, including the temple's destruction and then the ushering in of God's new age, along with the promises that Jesus had been telling them. They hoped that the present age would come to its inevitable conclusion. They wanted the Romans out. They were tired of being pushed around, and they wanted the new age to be born. Well, Jesus says the birth pangs of the new age will start in the forms of war, revolutions, famines and earthquakes. It's not going to be pretty. And it hasn't been, has it? I happen to believe that the end time started when the first nail was driven into Jesus' hand, and then the stopwatch started. No one knows the hour of the day but the Father. Terrible times are going to come, and those who follow Jesus will be tested severely. There'll be some, unfortunately, who will give it all up as just too demanding and give up the faith. We've seen the evidence. But believers, my friends, shouldn't waver or be deceived. There would be people who claim to be Jesus who we are not to follow, not by any stretch of the imagination. Unless it's Jesus, folks, I'm not going. Jesus' followers, then and now, must hold on, keeping their nerve and remaining faithful, standing firm in faith. Between the present moment for the disciples and the time when all will be revealed, Jerusalem will be destroyed. The good news of the kingdom of God, which Jesus came to bring, will have to spread not just around Israel, but to places throughout the whole world. There's much more work to be done. Jesus said just before he ascended to the Father, as recorded in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth." This statement holds true for every generation of Christians, believers in Jesus as Messiah. We too are called to be faithful, to hold on and not be alarmed. We too are called to live through troubled times and to be faithful to the end. We may see the destruction of cherished and beautiful symbols. Think about what happened on 9/11. Those two beautiful towers gone. Those are marks of economy, progress. Our calling is to hold on to Jesus himself, in relationship with him, to continue to trust in him, to believe that the one who is justified by God in the first century will one day be justified before the whole world. There's still a lot of people to find out just who Jesus is. When he comes again on a cloud, there will be absolutely no doubt that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I think Marilyn's kids were asking her in school, how are we going to know that it's Jesus when he says he's coming again? She said, you're going to know. When he's coming on the clouds, it's not going to be like you have to go and put on MSNBC or CNBC or Fox News or something else. All you're going to have to do is look up, and you'll know it's him. I can tell you in my heart that when Jesus does come again, the number of people that are going to fall on their faces and talk like Thomas and say, my Lord and my God. Just think. Just incredible. We too are called to live with the birth pangs of God's new age. Somebody here knows about birth pangs. He told us about Nathaniel. Well, we have to trust that in good time, the new world will be born, and Jesus will come again to bring it. Jesus promises that he will provide what we need during this time of waiting, especially words and wisdom. This promise refers to the time when people will be put on trial for their lives because of their allegiance and their belief in Jesus. Think of the early Christians and the persecution that took place, even to Rome and the horrible treatment of people simply because they followed Jesus. The Emperor Nero took Christians and put them on poles and lit them on fire and used them as streetlights, yet they didn't waver. And you know that they were received into the kingdom of heaven instantly. Jesus' warnings were given as encouragement to his followers in any age to come. And he said this, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it before in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. That's Luke 21, 12 to 14. Think of how in the book of Acts, when the apostles were arrested, Peter went before the Sanhedrin and the high priest and testified about Jesus who you killed. That's just the beginning. Earlier in Luke 12, 11 to 12, Jesus said these words of encouragement. He said, and when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers of the authorities, don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. We need to remember that. We need to remember these words, just like his promises are timeless and true. Wherever and whenever Christians are persecuted for their faith, they need the prayers and support of their fellow believers like us, but also the comfort and encouragement of Jesus' words. You know, in our prayers of the people, there's a portion that says to pray for people who spread the gospel. And that's people who are persecuted in other parts of the world. It may not be here, but it may be in the life after. And so I close with the words from the brother of Jesus, James, in his epistle, in which he wrote, you too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. From James 5:8. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.